Morning, everyone. Sam's been referring to the psalm we're looking at. It's 115. If you'd like to follow this in the church Bibles, it's on page 435. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory, because of your love and faithfulness. Why do the nations say, where is their God? Our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases him. But their idols are silver and gold, made by the hands of men. They have mouths, but cannot speak, eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but cannot hear, noses, but they cannot smell. They have hands, but cannot feel, feet, but they cannot walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. Those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. O house of Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. The Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, small and great alike. May the Lord make you increase, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The highest heavens belong to the Lord, but the earth he has given to man. It is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to silence. It is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord.
Well, do keep that passage open, and let's pray. Father, we bow in your presence, and we acknowledge that you are the Lord. You are God, and we want you to be Lord of this church. We want you to direct our minds and our hearts and our lives. So we pray now that you will anoint the preaching of your word with your Holy Spirit, that we might hear your voice and be moved to repent and to obey and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I wonder, are you a glory seeker? We'd never admit it, of course, but we all like to be told we've done well. At one level, this is not a problem. Encouragement is a good thing. I always try to remember to give encouragement, to tell someone if they've done well. I'm always glad to receive encouragement. There's plenty of discouragement. But our psalm says, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your great name be the glory. God must have all the glory. Jesus said, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men, to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. In other words, if we choose to take the glory now, that's our reward. And we forfeit our heavenly reward. How foolish we've all been, haven't we? Again and again. To do our acts of righteousness for other people's approval. A friend of mine helps out at a summer camp for teenagers. There's always a lot of very menial work to be done at these camps, and he was heard to say, if you're going to do humble service, make sure it's done in the limelight. It's okay, he wasn't serious. He was making a joke about our human nature. We want our service to be done in the limelight. We want to be seen by others. We want the glory. Well, today, only one God deserves praise. We must trust God as our help and shield. The Lord blesses his faithful people, and we will praise the Lord forever. Firstly, then, only one God deserves praise. Look at verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory. Why must all the glory go to God? Well, fundamentally, because he alone is God. The root issue in the human heart is that we would all like to be God. We would all like the world to revolve around us. We would all like our will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 1 teaches us that God alone is Lord. When you see Lord in capital letters in the Old Testament, that's a translation of Jehovah or Yahweh, which is the covenant name for God. This is the God who is in covenant relationship with his people. They are his people. He is their God. But he is God. They are the people. We must never confuse these two. He is God. I am not. There are two expressions of God's divinity in this verse. Firstly, his love. All the glory must go to God because of his love. God is love, John tells us. God has been extraordinarily loving. Everything he does is loving. With us, even our best actions are spoiled by sin. And so, all the glory must go to God. Secondly, God's character is seen in his faithfulness. He is entirely faithful. He will never let us down. Even when he lets bad things happen to us, he demonstrates his faithfulness. He is a faithful God. And so all the glory goes to him. Verse 2, the nations, that is the non-Jewish world, which equates today with the non-Christian world, the unbelieving world, unbelievers say with great contempt, where is their God? Answer, verse 3. Our God is in heaven. Our God sits enthroned in heaven. Our God rules from heaven. He is absolutely sovereign. His will is done on earth as it is in heaven. He is the sovereign God who rules from heaven, the one before whom Isaiah falls down as though dead, as does Ezekiel and the Apostle John. We cannot conceive of the majesty and glory of this God who rules from heaven. Look at verse 3. He does whatever pleases him. He doesn't ask our permission. He doesn't consult an advisory panel. He does whatever pleases him. And what pleases God is right. Contrast the idolatry of the nations. Verse 4, they craft idols out of silver and gold. Verse 5, they have mouths but cannot speak, eyes but cannot see, ears but cannot hear, noses but they cannot smell, hands but cannot feel, feet but they cannot walk, nor can they utter a sound with their throats. In other words, idols are a pointless waste of time. I once heard of a man in South Wales who filled his house with literal idols, but that is very rare in Western culture. Of course, some religions have physical idols. What we do is we worship money. We worship houses. We worship cars. We worship sex. We worship pleasure. And so we could go on. And the psalmist is saying to us, God alone must have all the glory. Stop worshipping false idols. Verse 8, those who make them will be like them, and so will all who trust in them. You will become like that which you worship. False gods cannot take you through life, and false gods cannot take you through death. Only one God deserves praise. Secondly, we must trust God as our help and shield. Verses 9 to 11. The psalmist couldn't make this any clearer to us. Verse 9, O house of Israel, trust in the Lord. House of Israel stands for the people of God, which is the church in the New Testament. So this applies to us. Christ Church Baldock, trust in the Lord. What are you trusting in? He is their help and shield. Do you ever feel the need for help? I certainly do. God is the help of his people. Isn't that wonderful? God is my helper. What a privilege. Every Christian can go into the day saying, God is my helper. Are you facing a difficult meeting? Do you feel you just can't cope? God is our help. What he's looking for is a simple attitude of trust. Trust in the Lord. He's looking for people who will rely on him through prayer. Express your dependence on him. He's pleased with this. Verse 10, O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. These are the priests. They must trust in the Lord. In the New Testament, we're all priests. But we can only be priests, we can only be praying priests, and we can only be proclaiming priests who stand for Christ in the world if we trust in the Lord. If our confidence is in our own ability, we will get nowhere. We have no ability to be priests in the world. Our prayer lives are weak. Mine is. Our speaking for God is hesitant. We must trust exclusively in the Lord. He is our help and shield. The fact that he is our shield tells us that we're in a war. We're under attack. We have an enemy. His name is Satan. He is described as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's looking to devour Christians, to destroy our faith, to destroy the work of God in our lives. The good news is, Almighty God is our shield. We need, consciously, to ask him for his protection and to place our trust in him. Verse 11, you who fear him, trust in the Lord. Some Christians don't like this teaching. They don't like to think that we must fear God. Well, this doesn't mean a cringing fear. I know that God is my Father. In Christ, we are forgiven. We are loved. We are accepted. But put yourself in this position. Supposing someone you work with was being dishonest, and you knew the right thing to do was to expose his dishonesty. You might experience fear. You might experience fear of the dishonest man. You might fear for your own job, perhaps. You might fear for how you would provide for your family. At that moment, you must say to yourself, I fear God alone. He alone is to be feared. In other words, God's opinion alone is what counts. I trust myself to God to provide for my family. I fear God, not people, not circumstances. The fear of God is described as a pure and life-giving thing. For homework, read Psalm 34, which sets this out. Sets out why it is a good thing to fear the Lord. Fear the Lord alone. Trust God alone. He is our help and shield. Thirdly, the Lord blesses his faithful people. Verses 12 to 15. This is an amazingly wonderful truth. God will bless us. Verse 12, the Lord remembers us and will bless us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. This doesn't mean that bad things won't happen to us. I'm afraid Christians get sick. Their loved ones die. They suffer unemployment. They get discouraged. And so we could go on. But through it all, God will bless us. He does bless us. One of the worst moments of my life was when I was unemployed, facing homelessness, with a wife, a young child, and a second child on the way. It wasn't a good set of circumstances. And yet, even at that moment, I was aware of being in the place of God's blessing. So many people come to faith when they suffer, or their faith grows when they suffer. Bad things happen, and God is blessing us through it all. Verse 13, he will bless those who fear the Lord. What was I just saying? Commit yourself to fear the Lord. This is the place of God's blessing, small and great alike. Verse 14, God blesses families. May the Lord make you increase, both you and your children. Of course, not every couple can have children. They are still blessed. I've mentioned before my friends in Bridgend, Owen and Joan Raymond. They've made an art form of their childlessness. They've used their childlessness, the extra time they've had, to serve the Lord. Joan has been heavily involved in youth work. Owen has developed an extensive ministry, most recently becoming a street pastor at the age of 70, reaching out to the thousands of young people out clubbing in Bridgend on a Saturday night. God's blessed life for some couples will be childlessness. Ah, so you can still hear me, can you? But for ancient Israel, the blessed life was the fecund life, the fertile life. There we are. The blessed life for Israel was the fertile life, because for Israel, the blessing of God was for now. God's people were to enjoy prosperity in the land of Israel. The New Testament amends this picture. The physical land of Israel is a picture of heaven. We experience ultimate prosperity in heaven. For now, God allows us to suffer, to train our characters, to get us ready for heaven. So the great fulfillment of verse 14 is for us to have spiritual children in heaven, people we led to Christ while here on earth. We know we will be blessed in heaven. And so in that confidence, we pray verse 15. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. In Christ, every spiritual blessing is ours. No blessing will be withheld from us in heaven. And we need to live for that day, for that experience. And that brings us fourthly to our last point. We will praise the Lord forever. Verses 16 to 18. The highest heavens belong to the Lord. Think of the expanse of the universe. It belongs to the God who created it. But the earth he has given to man. Not so that we can declare unilateral independence of God. Not so that we can make earth a rebel outpost against the rightful owner. No. God has given us the earth so that we can steward it for his glory. Think of Romans 1. The earth is the great evidence for the existence of a creator. We need to keep it that way. we need to look after the earth so that the glorious attributes of the Creator can be seen in it. Supremely, we will do this by living lives which please God, which give Him glory. Verse 17, it is not the dead who praise the Lord, those who go down to silence. This is talking about the dead who don't know Christ. The dead who know Christ will indeed praise Him. The dead who don't know Christ will be cut off from Him. They will be in hell. Very, very sadly. They will have no opportunity to praise God. It is our privilege today to praise God. When we gather together as the church, when we pray alone in our rooms, when we pray with our families, when we share the gospel with unbelievers, let us praise the Lord wherever we find ourselves. Let us relish this privilege and let us try to save people from hell for heaven so that we can all praise God together in heaven. Verse 18, it is we who extol the Lord, both now and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Well, are you a praiser? A friend of mine is a good musician, and when he was a boy, he told his mother he wanted to be a worship leader. Now, we may quibble over that term. We might prefer to say praise leader or music leader. That's not the point. The point is, his mother said to him, "Son, you've got a worshipping heart." What she meant was, you may never be a great musician, but you've got a heart that wants to praise God. Is that you this morning? Only one God deserves praise. Are you giving Him praise? Will you repent of your idolatry? We must trust God as our help and shield. Where is your confidence this morning? Is it in God alone? The Lord blesses His faithful people. If you are in Christ, you're in the place of God's blessing. He is blessing you, even if life is tough. Are you thanking Him for His blessing on your life? And we will praise the Lord forever. Have you made a start by praising Him now? Do you know Him? You can't really praise a God you don't know. Have you come to Him as you are, freely admitting your sin, freely admitting that you need forgiveness, that you need a Saviour? Jesus is that Saviour. He's died for us. He's taken the punishment we deserve. We can be forgiven if we will give Him our praise, if we will give Him our lives, if we will trust Him completely to be our Saviour. If you've done this, if you've put your trust in Jesus, if you have come to live under His rule, then you will want to give Him praise. And in a moment, you may come to His table. Let's take a moment for silent prayer.